It's a program that's from the Garland ISD, and it's called the PTEC program.
Okay.
So it's Pathways to Technology Early College. They have a construction arm, and what we do is we talk to students. We go and talk to the high school, starting from freshmen, you know, all the way through seniors. We luckily last year got to see the first class that we were involved with graduate. But we try to teach them the opportunities that are in construction so that they know, obviously, yes, it is the boots. It's also a big opportunity in the office. A lot of the young girls that I've seen, and there's not many girls in that program, but the girls that I've seen that I've talked to, you could see their little eyes just widen, you know, when they see me talk about estimating, accounting, all these other things that they could be involved in.
Yesenia, thank you so much for joining me on Pressure Tested. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate you inviting me.
You are really well known in the construction industry. So you've been in the construction industry for 25 years. How did you end up doing construction?
It was really by chance. I went to a temp agency, right between my freshman and my sophomore year in college. I was just trying to get a gig for the summer. Did the whole, you know, whatever tests that they give you to see how fast you type and all those things. And I ended up at a general contracting firm. It was supposed to be a 3-day assignment. And those 3 days turned into 14 years.
Wow. That's amazing. What all did you do for the GC?
So I started off at the front desk. That was really the 3-day assignment part. Mm-hmm. The girl that they had there that I was supposed to temp for, she ended up staying away a little bit longer.
Okay.
So they asked me to stay, you know, more than the 3 days. While I was there, the owner saw that I was really good with numbers. That's always been my thing. I love math. Ever since I was little, I've always been a big fan of numbers. I ended up going to a different middle school and a different high school because of their, they didn't used to call them STEM programs back then, but it was because of their STEM programs.
Oh, that's amazing.
Higher math.
That's
math
amazing.
Math advancement.
Cool. Good for you.
But so the owner saw that I was really good with numbers, and when he told me, like, within the first, I don't know, few weeks that I was there, he said, you're going to be a project manager in 5 years. And I was 19 years old.
Wow.
So I didn't know what PMing was, but yeah. I was like, huh, okay, that sounds interesting.
Okay, so you're in college at that time. Did you go back to school after that?
I did. I stayed in college. I was going to school for computer science and engineering.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I do love computers, too. Okay. Some people say that I'm really good at Excel. I wish I was better, but I guess I do well. I probably am the best one at Excel at the office. So
there you go.
Yes, there you go. But going back to estimating, the way that I got into that. So I was front desk receptionist for a little while. They moved me quickly into the administrative position. And then I was helping the project manager. So I was really doing like a project engineering tasks and duties without the title. And then I started helping the estimating department. And I quickly learned everything to do with the divisions. You know, I feel like there wasn't really a whole lot of training. It was more of a hands-on thing. And because I was good with numbers, I memorized all those divisions from zero to back then. It was only 16. Now it's like 33 at least.
Wow.
And just started helping, you know, basically, I don't know if you know, but back in the day we had fax machines and that's how we would get quotes.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
No way.
Yes.
That's how your quotes went out?
That's how we would get quotes from subcontractors.
Oh, okay.
So as we're getting quotes,
oh my gosh.
I was in charge of, with a red pencil, marking down what division it was. So it would go into file folders for the estimator to have it organized.
Oh,
that was
my
intro into estimating.
What a world.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm dying to know, how do you meet Carmen?
So Carmen, she was one of the subcontractors.
Okay.
When I was working there as a general contracting estimator.
Okay.
And that's how I met her. She invited several of us on a women in construction trip.
Okay.
And I went to Colorado with her. And that's when I really got to know her very well.
I can only imagine.
Yes. And that was several years later. That was, I guess, the year before she hired me. Because at that time, I was looking for a change.
Yeah.
And I was being interviewed by a big company. It's known nationwide. I had interviewed three times. I thought I had the gig. Mm-hmm. It was going to be more of a business development slash estimator. They were trying to create this position for me.
Okay.
But it fell through. So I let the girls know that went with us on that trip. Hey, I didn't get the job. Here's my resume. Help me out.
Yeah.
Send it out. And that's when I got the call from Carmen. And she's like, what do you think about working with me?
What did you think?
Well, I was like, I don't know about a subcontractor, but hey, I'll hear you out. You know, like I had always been working for a general contractor. So yeah. It was different, but it was better.
I do think that there is a big shift from the general contracting world to the subcontractor world. So I definitely know where you're going with that. So for the people listening, tell us a little bit about NTD Mechanical.
Yes, of course. So NTD Mechanical, we're a turnkey mechanical company. We're based out of Garland, Texas. And right now we're at about a 30 million volume a year. We do have a small plumbing division as well as a small service division. But we've been working a lot in the public sector, so a lot of K-12, higher ed, some municipalities, but we've also been trying to do some more private work.
So do you guys do new construction or do you do remodel work or
all
both?
Of it.
All of it.
All of it. We're really good at the renovations. So the dirtier, the nastier, we're going to have less competitors. They don't want to do any of that type
really?
Of work, and we're really good at that work. The new construction, we tend to be, I would say it's a little bit harder to be competitive just uh-huh. because it's easier. It's easy work to do, but it's all relationship based, right?
Right?
So depending on who the client is, I think we have definitely NTD would have a better shot at.
Do you have a specific type of work that you're really good at? I feel like I remember Carmen telling us, is it VRV that you guys just really?
That is a niche for us. Yes.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other day, somebody, I think it was Brassville Gorey, wanted us to bid a VRV down in Fremont, which is this new development, new lake development. And I was like, yeah, let's bid it. And everybody looked at it and they're like, yeah, this is VRV. We don't have a chance in hell. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true. that's not what we do.
It's definitely a different type of system. And if you're not, you know, experienced in installing them, it's not going to work.
That's right. That's right. So we, you know, Moss Heating Cooling is building a commercial division, but we're still just very like commercial rooftop units. And I think there's just so many different worlds in construction in DFW. So we feel good about that world. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the company structure a little bit more as far as, do you self-perform all your own work?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, everything other than controls insulation,
yeah.
And also the hydronic piping. We do subcontract that out.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you have your own service department to service it too?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. So how many employees?
Total around 80 right now.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So cool. Okay, so tell me exactly what you do for NTD Mechanical.
Oh, man, a lot of things. A lot of things. So the title is VP of Sales and Marketing, but I am still doing all things estimating.
Okay.
So all the estimates that go out the door, they hit my desk first. I review them just to make sure we've got all of the labor, the adequate labor, adequate profit. I have a pretty good eye for detail. I think that's how I got into estimating is I learned real quick to, you know, not only pay attention to the details, but really listen to what the project needs. It's kind of an art and a science. I've always told people that. And that's how I learned it from one of my mentors. But I think that would be number one, business development as well. Everything to do with engaging with our partners, both on the client side and on the vendor side. And then, of course, the marketing.
It's funny because when I think business, and I'm just going to stereotype the hell out of everyone right now, but when I think of business development people and I think that they're one personality, you know, very outgoing, very relationship driven.
I know where you're going with that.
and then the marketing brain, you know, that's the creative type. That's a whole different personality. And then you've got the estimator, the number person. And so
he is always wearing glasses and a pocket protector. Okay.
Yeah.
And I say that because when I first started in estimating, I would get caught. Granted, I was working for a general contractor, but I would get calls from subcontractors asking for Mr. Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
Can I speak to Mr. Garcia?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, this is Miss Garcia. Oh, no, but I want to talk to the estimator. I am the estimator.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's
those
crazy.
Were some times.
I bet. I
couldn't explain how my brain works, honestly.
Yeah, how does that work exactly?
Yeah. I can't
okay,
tell you.
Okay, let me ask you this. What do you do during the day and you walk away from it and you feel like recharged?
People.
Okay.
There you go. That's my biggest thing. Okay. It's the people. When I go to events like today,
yeah,
the Luna Awards luncheon, when I get to network with all the people that I've known over the years, I love that. That re-energizes me.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Okay, so definitely have an interesting brain that you can really kind of do all of these things and do them so well. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can sit in my chair and work on an estimate, work on a takeoff for hours, but then I can also do all the other things.
Wow. Yeah, I don't have the detailed brain. So I do like math, but I don't have the detailed brain. Like, I can't do the concentration. I don't have the focus. So good on you for having that. Okay, so let's think back, like, over your career. I mean, you really go from sitting at the front desk to kind of being NTD's right hand. I mean, you are really, I mean, and Carmen is for sure, but you're really a face of that company. So many people know you. You know, when did you decide that this was, like, what you were going to do? And, like, how did you excel at it so well? What do you think, what can you point back to and say, that was it?
I think the shift from estimating to this role was really Carmen, given the opportunity that Carmen gave me, both me and Billy, when she hired us. I don't know if she told you the story, but she hired us within 2 weeks from each other. And we were actually, I guess you would say, she was looking for only one person and we both ended up with it. But we were really competing against the position. We didn't know about this till like 3 or 4 years later. You know, we had no idea. Yeah. He has the operations side. He owned his own company. So that's where his strengths are. My strengths were coming from the estimating side and the detail side and the office, you know, everything that I learned working for a GC firm. But I don't know.
What about you personally? Have you, you know, over the last 25 years, have you had a family? Do you have kids?
I do. I've been married for 23 years. Mm-hmm. I have two young, beautiful children. My oldest son, he just turned 22. He's 6'5".
6'5".
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Coming from this short girl here, right? And then our daughter, she'll be 21 in December.
Oh, that's great.
She's at Oklahoma State studying aviation management.
So you're an empty nester.
Not quite. Not quite. They still live at home.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. That's okay.
Our daughter's off at college. Our son is living at home.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I get it. I have an older son, and he was in and out of the house until he works for the business, but he was in and out of the house at least until 24. I mean, I think that's like at 24, it's got to be like, look, you go figure it out. Like, you got like,
it's tough these days. It's not like back when I was young. It's like we had to go and survive.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's a little bit more coddling.
Well, and it's so expensive.
It is.
It's so expensive. And even a salary right out of a good school, I mean, it hardly pays for an apartment and everything else.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we had our pre-podcast phone call, you told me about this really cool thing you guys have been doing. I think that anybody who knows anything about the trades or knows about construction, they know that it's just so hard to get younger people interested in going into blue-collar trades. And so you guys have a program. What are you guys doing at NTD?
So it's not our program. It's a program that's from the Garland ISD, and it's called the PTEC program.
Okay.
So it's Pathways to Technology Early College.
Okay.
And they have a construction arm. So they have, I think, two or three different arms, and one of them is the construction arm. So we've been involved now. This is our fifth year. And what we do is we talk to students. We go and talk to the high school, Naaman Forest High School, starting from freshmen, you know, all the way through seniors. We luckily last year got to see the first class that we were involved with graduate. So
oh,
that was
great.
Pretty cool. But we try to teach them the opportunities that are in construction so that they know that it's not obviously, yes, it is the boots in the ground, but it's also a big opportunity in the office. A lot of the young girls that I've seen, and there's not many girls in that program, but the girls that I've seen that I've talked to, you could see their little eyes just widen, you know, when they see me talk about estimating, accounting, all these other things that they could be involved in.
That's so cool. And so they come to your building and they kind of sit with the different people too?
So we do that once a year, yes.
Okay. That's so cool.
And we bring about 20 to 30 students. They get bused from the school, and we end up doing stations is what we call them. It's like six different stations. One of them would be estimating sales. The other would be more like hands-on welding. Another one would be safety. So we have our safety guy, whoever we get volunteers, whoever wants to go up on the lift to get a, for example, we had a teddy bear with a prize on the roof. So they would go up on the lift with the safety manager to get that, so just so that they can learn some of the things that, even though it's minor, some of the small things that we go through in construction, wearing PPE and things like that.
I think that's amazing. I think that's such a good program. I wonder if Dallas ISD has that same program.
I think they do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We got involved in Garland because that's where our office is. So right. We're trying to give back to the community.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. So, you know, we are both in very different types of air conditioning, obviously, but like, we have a real problem finding talented mm-hmm. technicians and people who really just know how to do the work. How do you guys find quality people that you trust?
It's been tough. I think more or less it's us working hard and keeping the talent that we have, right? Because a lot of times other companies that we're working alongside, for example, they'll try to take our people. And I'll give an example. I think we've just completed a project, but it's working under a larger mechanical company where they gave us a piece of the pie.
Like a CD, right? Or a Brandt or something.
Yeah, something like that. Well, they ended up, unfortunately, we weren't able to keep our guys. They did end up taking some guys. So I think what we try to do and what we're pretty good at is retention. So keeping our skilled and quality guys happy.
How do you do it? I mean, I've had so many great technicians who aren't here with me now. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, we've got a pickleball court and we've got great benefits and we've got this and we've got that.
I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes more or less in talking to them as people and getting to know them personally and showing them that you care. A lot of times I think as leaders, we forget and we think things are working just as they should instead of doing those one-on-one check-ins. So I think we're really good at doing that.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I think that, you know, leaders just have these boxes, and if they can check them, then they think everything is fine. So that's really good. I like that. Tell me a little bit more about how being the estimator and being the person that gets all the bids, how do you think that shaped how you handle business development?
And going back to the detail, I think it's just really going beyond the plans. It's learning what does the client want. It's listening. It sounds probably not necessarily formulated.
Yeah.
But it really is an art and a science, like I said earlier. And taking that from estimating into sales, I mean, it just works. It works.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that people always say about sales is, whoever that guy is, I forget his name, the Wolf of Wall Street guy that sells you the pen. Mm. I just saw this thing come on Instagram the other day, and he's like, you know, selling people something is really not about, you know, telling them about the pen. It's about asking them what they need.
Yes, and that's the listen part for sure, 100%.
That's good.
Yeah, because it's not just about selling something. It's really more or less about getting that relationship and making it a long-lasting relationship, because you might not sell something to them today. You might not even sell something to them directly. But if they trust you and they get to know you, they'll be able to say, hey, I know, like you said, I know NTD can do VRV.
Right.
Just like that.
I love that. Do you do anything like, you know, so we just recently started having a business development person. And so, you know, we sit down, we're like, okay, what do people want? They want maps, tickets, they want this, and they want that. It's like, how much of that stuff do you guys do? Or is the focus just really on being trustworthy and continuing the relationship?
It started off that way, trustworthy and the relationship. But now it is shifting a little bit more on what do people like or want to do. There's a lot of old school, I would say traditional, that are like, I don't care about any of that. I want is to know that I'm hiring a qualified contractor, right? But then we do have some of the younger generation that, they care about going to games and things like that. So we're trying to have a mix of both. You know, what I try to teach our team is, hey, ask the questions. Don't just assume. Mm. And also try to figure out their communication style. And so it goes hand in hand. What do they like?
Yeah, what do they like? I mean, it's just about asking questions.
It is.
I think that that's really the key, asking people what they want.
And a lot of times I think the younger generation, they're afraid to ask.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to shift things. What do you think, and I've heard you say a few times, really, it's just about forming these relationships, but everyone knows that the culture is really good at NTD, mm-hmm. that you guys have a great culture. What do you feel like you've contributed to that, and what do you contribute daily to the culture?
It's really going back again, what I said before. It's talking to them mm-hmm. beyond just...
So everyone in the company you might have a relationship with?
Yes, absolutely. Really?
That's great.
Absolutely. And they know that I have... My door is always open. They know that they can pick up the phone and call me or text me or message me. It's a very transparent relationship with all of them.
When Carmen was here, she told me about this time that... Yeah, she, this whole plumbing thing, you know, look, we started a plumbing company one time, mm-hmm. When we first started Moss Heating and Cooling, I'll just kind of tell you our story a little bit. We really wanted, it wasn't Moss Heating and Cooling, it was Moss Mechanical. And we had a partner that could do new construction plumbing and residential applications. It's what he had done when he was younger. It's what his dad had done. He felt very confident in this line of work. And we were very confident in new construction, HVAC, residential, because that's what we had all done before. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, okay, we're going to partner up and this is going to be great. We're just going to, you know, we're going to go take all the custom work in Dallas and, you know, here we go. And plumbing did not go well for us at all. In fact, we lost about $300,000 when we finally decided that plumbing wasn't for us. I know that you guys kind of had a similar experience.
We did.
What was that like?
Awful. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was terrible. And I don't remember if Carmen commented or not, but I mean, she almost closed the doors.
Yeah.
It was that hard.
Yeah.
And what I remember clearly when that all went down, our RMP decided to leave. He took a lot of plumbers with him. Mm-hmm. One of my jobs was to go to all the job sites and talk to each and every single plumber and find out, is your plan to stay with us or is your plan to leave?
Wow.
And I had to do my best to encourage them and to motivate them and inspire them to stay with NTD. That was tough.
And I mean, but you had to be, you probably had a better look at it than most people. So you were probably pretty concerned about staying yourself. Was there ever a moment that you were like, you know, people don't always have it in them to stay through a tough spot. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you did?
Yeah, no, I was always going to be there. Like I told Carmen, Billy and I, she called us one Sunday evening. We came in and she was in tears. You know, she was like, we've lost so much money. I don't know what we're going to do. And I looked at Billy. Billy looked at me and we're like, whatever you need us to do, we're here till the very end or to get us out of this hole.
Wow.
And that's what we did.
And you guys just put your heads down and went back to work.
That's right.
How'd you convince the plumbers to stay?
Some of them didn't stay.
That's honest.
Yeah, some of them didn't. But it was, again, just looking at them, you know, and just letting them know whether you stay here or decide to go, you at least know what you have here. When you leave and go somewhere else, you don't know what you're going to get. They might sell you on, you know, unicorns, but you're going to end up with donkeys. But yeah, you at least know what you have here and you know what our culture is. So that was one of the ways that some of them did stay.
You know, something that we go through here, and we really go through it on the utility side a lot, is our laborers will leave for a dollar.
Right.
A dollar.
Yeah.
And we're like, what? But we're an ESOP. But we're this. But we're that. And it's like, it's a dollar.
Yeah. That part, I wish that
That's
we did.
Tough.
I wish that everybody in the construction industry did a better job at communicating down to the labor mm-hmm. exactly what they're getting.
Yeah.
If there was a visual, a way. Because if it's not a dollar on their paycheck, they're not going to see it.
Yeah.
And they don't understand it. If there was a way to educate them, I've always thought that for years, even back when I was so young at the GC that I worked for, like if there was a way to educate them, because yeah, you're right. They might leave for a dollar, but they, in essence, at the end of the day, are probably making a lot less.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
And that's
good.
The part that they don't know.
Yeah. If Texo's listening, they should get on that. That would be really great.
Texo, ASA, all of them.
100%. Yeah, that's smart. I love that. Okay, so you were named Executive of the Year from the Regional Hispanic Contractors Association. What year was that?
That was this year.
This year?
Yes.
What an
February.
Honor.
February, yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Have you already been to the awards?
Yes, the awards were in February.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well,
I was surprised, honestly.
Why?
I was up against CEOs, presidents, owners of their companies. And here I am, a vice president, not in the main seat. Mm-hmm. So I thought, honestly, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And when I did, it was like, wow, all this hard work is paying off.
There you go.
And
that's
not
great.
Only that, but I know that it takes more than just me. It was my team. You know, I do all the things that I do is thanks to the team. 100%.
Yeah, I think that I know titles just really don't matter. I mean, I think that it doesn't necessarily matter what your title is. I'm sure that you carry so much weight at your company that, and, you know, titles are just titles. So that's amazing. Congratulations. I love that for you.
Thank you.
Okay. So you've been in the construction industry 25 years. How have you seen the role of women really change?
Well, I can tell you that back when I started, not very many women at all. Like, not even, you know, I think it really was the way that the company was set up and structured. Now it's, you know, I think companies are structured a little different. Mm-hmm. Now you see a lot more women, which I love. It's great. But I would love to see more women in the decision-making seat. Mm. That's what I want to see.
Why do you think we're still not there?
That's a tough one. I think goes a little bit both ways. I think sometimes we lack confidence mm-hmm. to just say yes and do the work, even if we don't feel 100% ready. I think that's one part. And then the other part is just our competition just tries to get up there faster than we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always going to be the half of the group that is still more focused on home than they are their careers. And that's mm-hmm. totally okay. But I think that it just, it gives the idea that everyone's going to always be more focused on home, and that's okay too. So it's tough. I think mm-hmm. it's a little bit tougher for women than it is for men to get to the top.
Well, you can do both.
You can do both.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
It was tough. It was tough when the kids were little and I stayed at the office till midnight working on estimates. It was tough.
You know, I definitely don't stay in the office till midnight for sure. I mean, I think that over the years that has gotten better. I think people recognize that you can't work 60 hours a week anymore and that everybody has a home life. And, you know, Moss Utilities is excellent at that. Because now that's not to say that if I go home at 6, I might go home and get back online.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think it was, for me, it wasn't the company. That's just the way I'm structured.
Yeah.
And back then we didn't have a laptop to take home. So I had to be in the office.
Yikes.
So, yeah, that definitely has evolved.
Yeah, for sure. Well, how did you handle it?
Then? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just had that fire under me.
Did you have a lot of support at home?
Yes, absolutely. I would say, just going to go back a little bit to some of my history. I have 4 brothers. And even though I wasn't necessarily around construction when I was little, being in construction since 19, I mean, it has really built me a thicker skin. Mm-hmm. It has really made me stronger. So I think I'm just a little bit different when it comes to that. And I owe it to my brothers that would bully me when I was little. To be honest.
No, I totally agree with that. So I only have a sister, but of all the women and girls and, you know, my daughter's friends, all the women that I know that are just tough as hell, they had brothers. Mm-hmm. Man, brothers are...
Brothers, oh, man, my little brother would beat me up. He's 5 years younger. Like, I look at him now, I'm like, brother, I should have just slapped you back then. But,
well, I mean, it's all been
And
worth
we're
it.
All very close now, but that's how I grew up, you know, in a tough world. So I was already in a tough, somewhat like a construction world.
Yeah, that's great.
Looking back. And when I reflect in how did I do it, honestly, I have no idea. I have so many friends that continuously ask me, how do you balance it? You're always so good at doing all the home things. We're always hosting
really
at home. Oh yeah, we have the all the Thanksgivings, the Christmases, all of the things are at our house, and still doing 110% at work. That's just in my nature.
Wow.
And I know not everybody can, and I wouldn't necessarily want for people to do that, but if that's how you are, that's how you are.
Do you sleep?
I do now. I do now. I have to.
All right. Break it down. Tell me what your day looks like now.
Okay. All right. I wake up between 5 and 6. I'm a bather, so I take my bath. That's kind of my zen time.
Okay.
get ready. I'm already answering emails or phone calls as early as 6:30 to 7. I drive about an hour to work.
Yikes.
Because of traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
And then the first thing I do is, again, answer emails, kind of talk to our sales team, and just to kind of touch on just real quick things. We have a 10 a.m. daily huddle that everybody comes into my office. That's good. All the sales team, they come into my office, and we just touch on, again, kind of hot topics and what can I do to support the team. I started that back in March this year when we hired a couple of when we hired our director of engineering and another sales guy, just because I felt like this was a way to get everybody to connect and make sure that we don't feel like we're on an island, right? That we're actually working together and knowing that together as a team, what is it that we can help each other with?
How long does the daily huddle take?
15 minutes.
I love that.
If that.
People swear by the daily huddle. That's good. Okay. You get everybody in there, you tell them what they're going to do, what happens next.
So then people do, you know, everybody goes back to their offices and start doing what they have to do. It sounds like it really goes that way, but it doesn't. There's always things that happen. You know, I have project managers that will come into my office and they have a question or need help with something. I have checks that I need to sign. I have estimates to review if there's a bid due that day. I have them send me their PlanSwift takeoff job file so that I'm looking at what they took off versus what they put in the estimate sheet versus what they put on the Word document proposal letter. So there's a lot of things. And then of course anything else that gets thrown at me during the day.
So we use PlanSwift too on the utility side. We don't use PlanSwift on the heating and cooling side. I guess they use WriteSoft to draw the plans. Mm-hmm. Maybe they use something else. But so you use PlanSwift to do your takeoffs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love that. You're working off of an engineered set of plans though.
Yes.
Okay.
For the most part, yes.
So that's something that's just very different for us because there's all this AI around takeoff software. Like, I can't wait to see what happens with that. But we're stuck drawing our own plans, which is just such a bummer. Like, we have to draw all of our own house plans because none of it's engineered. So not only do we need AI for takeoffs, we need AI to come draw the plans too.
So you guys have engineers on staff?
Yeah. They're not engineers, but we have design guys.
Okay.
So just too, because it's, well, the volume of work, we only do like 22 million a year, but it's a lot of different houses. So, but it'd be really great to get into commercial and have the mechanical engineer, to have the engineered set of plans and really be able to attack that.
It's definitely a different world.
for sure. But it's more in line with what I'm used to on the utility side.
Yeah. And we like to try to keep on plan and spec, but since we started our engineering side, we're trying to open that up to design build now too.
Okay. So you do like value engineering stuff.
Yes.
So they give you a set of plans and you're like, hey, I can do this more affordably. So you bring in your own team to kind of design it the way that you would want to design.
Correct.
What kind of liability do you run into with that?
Well, at the end of the day, the engineer that they have would still have to approve that.
Very good.
So that's not really a whole lot of liability.
That's good. I like that. Okay. So of all the women that are just now coming out of college and they're going down this path of going to work for a sub, going to work for a GC, what's your one piece of advice that you give them?
I would say just be confident. I think that's one of the things that we lack as women. Just be confident, ask questions, own your space, have a voice. Oh my gosh, that's a big one. Have a voice.
Have a voice. I love that. That's good. So what's next for you and what's next for NTD Mechanical?
Well, for me, it's just continuing to do what I do. You know, hopefully mentor more people. I try my best and I've always done it since I started in the career. So I'm hoping to inspire more people for sure. But for NTD, I don't know if you've heard, but Carmen did sell the company to Kelso Industries out of Utah.
How's that going?
It's been a little bit, I would say, a little tough.
That's fair.
I think it's great for Carmen.
It's
a little tough right now dealing with budgets. I mentioned that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that we never necessarily did in that much detail.
Yep.
So many reporting, so much things on the accounting side. Yeah. So I also oversee a lot of the accounting financials.
Sounds like it.
I forgot to mention that. So that's a big part of my job as
well. So no CFO. You're working, you have a controller
maybe that works under you? No CFO. We have our accounting manager.
Okay.
Maddie Torres. She's great at the accounting for sure, 100%. So no controller, no CFO.
I love that. I'd love to see your org chart, how that like flows up on that side. Because it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's kind of the math people on one side and the operations people on the other. That's really cool. Okay, well, I've got Carmen
she's
on the brain today.
She's thinking about us.
She's wondering right now if we're talking about her.
Yeah, her ears are ringing.
Yesenia, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It was so great to have you.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate you and your team.